now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Stone Hobbit. Stone Hobbit is a lifelong experiencer, has a lot of experiences, and comes from a background which I think is important for our listeners to understand, because she's gone through a background which has ultimately strengthened her and given her the power to help herself to reintegrate, to heal, and now she can come forward and share her story. The website is stonehobbit.weebly.com. And so without any further ado, Stone Hobbit, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Nice to chat with you.
Likewise. This is really a pleasure for me, and I've been looking forward to this interview. For the benefit of our listeners, Stone Hobbit, can you tell us a bit about your background and the things that happened to you, the guideposts, the milestones along the way, which was all part of your journey and which ultimately led you to being who the person you are today?
This is a deep one for me. In my early days, I was basically raised as what is known as an Inishuit, which was a child born into a pedophile family, pedophile rings, you know, introducing newcomers to the groups and the rings. We travelled all over New Zealand and all over Australia. Went through MK Ultra programming, different base techniques, different forms of programmings. I've gotten to see through the jobs that I've done how they've all matched up with the programmings I was trained into, the different family circles I was, you know, breeded into, and how that all came about. It was only in the last 10, 15 years that I actually woke up to the magnitude of the involvement that I had a role in and the roles of others around me, my influences against my own family, children, and so on, and how they still play a role to this day. How I can turn down a contract or any connection to contracts, it's a very hard thing when you don't know what you're actually signing and that there's even a contract there in place in the first place. I'm able to identify areas as they come in now, influences and energies as they come in. I can pick up on influences. I'm able to see things that others can't recognize or identify at the moment, but they are able to see it. I'm a strong believer in that we're all born with certain abilities. It just depends on the programmings and the techniques and triggers that are used for you to be able to see what your programming is. You know, has entailed. I think that's good to start with.
Now, tell us a bit about your childhood. And I understand that there are certain things that you must do to maintain security and, you know, to avoid any kind of repercussions, what have you. So, yeah, you don't have to provide names of the perps or, you know, names and places, what have you, can be changed. Now, I wouldn't say protect the guilty, but to kind of like, you know, make life easier for yourself because, you know, you've had a lifetime of these challenges. And with that in mind, what were your earliest memories of being part of this cult? How did, you know, those memories come about?
Well, for me, basically, you know, I wasn't alone. There were other children my age, younger and older, and there are other siblings who went through similarities to what I went through, but different at different time frames. Like there's a 10-year gap before anything happened between myself and my sister and so on. But for me, what it was when we're raised a certain way, programmed not to speak out, we're taught not to speak about certain areas, or we are, you know, we're threatened. The threats were daily. The threats were constant. The acting on threats were constant. The humiliation in front of families and friends was constant. Even though a certain amount of people were able to see and know what was going on because they were involved on another level, whereas you had those that were just coming into the fray and they had no idea what was going on, and they didn't say anything because I wasn't their child. This is not how they would do it. It's not their place to say their piece. There were tortures that went on. I mean, for somebody to say tortures is like, you think the worst. Now, I could sit there hours watching, you know, at dinner time, for instance, if I was going to speak out or I'd said something to my father who knew that I was going to speak out, because I got to an age where I realized that what was going on, what had been going on in my lifetime, wasn't the general normality. When I was growing up, every child in my eyes was going through the same shit that I was going through. Sorry, I didn't mean swear. That they were going through the same stuff, the same patterns, the same horrific things. But it wasn't horrific until I got to a certain mentality and realized the bigger picture of it, what it was I was experiencing, what it was I was being put through, and how was I to hold myself together. I got out of the situation. I basically took whatever opportunity I could to run away from home. I got away from home. I left a whole country behind. But in doing so, I got out of one fry pan into a fire. And I got to see, I wasn't aware of it at that time, but I got to see that there were different levels to these stages. All these families, all these bloodlines are actually interconnected. There is no way you can run and hide if you've already been labeled. You know, you go in there, you go to these indoctrination classes like deportment, Masonic lodges, different behavioral groups. You know, you go through different occultism through religion and occults. And there's so many different avenues. And every single place I lived, there were one or two people who knew what you did, knew where you were. There was no safety for me. I had no safety net. In the last place where all of this really started to hit a high point, you know, of abuse, different forms of sexual abuse, different forms of mental abuse, torture of different kinds and genetic manipulation, like, you know, I would have concussion and I wouldn't know how I got it. Next minute I know I'm being flown up to Port Hedland Hospital to find out what the hell's going on, you know, and there was never any straightforward answer to it. To this day, I still can't give you a steadfast, solid answer to why I experienced what I did and how I ended up in those positions. I can tell you where I was to begin with, and then I can tell you how I woke up from it, but I can't tell you what took place in between. I have blackout memories of some of the incidences where, you know, I shouldn't be alive today. You know, where I was smothered to the point of unconsciousness only to wake up running out of some total stranger's house, running for my life. You know, I know these events must have played a very strong, important role in my life. These days I stand back and I look through a full two-way mirror looking at my childhood. I can see the entity attachments to the hosts and how they were guided and directed, the manipulations, the intense feedings that they got from it, and I now don't provide that. I've cut that supply of feeding off. I've done that for a number of years now. So as it comes to being at home, watching the clock, knowing you've got to get on that bus to go home, knowing that there's pedos on the bus watching your every move, knowing that there's students on the bus that know what's going on, knowing you can't be left alone for 5 minutes because your life can be at risk. You know, you get home, you watch the clock, you wait for that car, you can hear that car coming as it starts up from the business that it is and comes down the driveway. You can hear it arriving before it even gets into view. And then you hear the footsteps coming through the hallway. You know, when everything else has calmed down through the day, you hear those footsteps walking up your bedroom hall. You know what's going to go on and there's nothing you can do to stop it. You know, you can fight and argue and scream, but at the end of the day, the punishment, it's just not worth it. It's my survival was to just get through it, let the event take place, get through it, and breathe for the next time that you're free to be able to come back and get your own back. You know, it took a long time for me to work out what was going on, what was right, what was wrong, who was involved, what relations were involved, the roles they played. You know, they played roles in different parts of the government. You know, with Freedom House, getting Asians, Chinese, sorry, into New Zealand under different immigration rules and stuff, you know, different MP parliamentary bodies meeting to play billiards and stuff. You knew who was interfering and who was involved in these cults. this day as an adult. I can see the people who were involved back in the yesterday as I was a child are now in positions of authority to this day. So even when I have tried to speak out and come forward, they've been the ones who have been able to block out my name, block out their name, block out details, block out family connections, twist words and whatever they wanted to because of the positions that they hold today, because of the knowledge they know, which is true, about yesterday. So I've been on some pretty amazing journeys. Each time I've gone through a very deep, deep involvement of abuse, there has been another involvement on another level. I've been able to see these entities came to me in a couple of these abusive, you know, times in my life and have been able to show me how to disassociate myself from the physicality. So in doing so, I'm able to stand there, look back and watch the physicality going through what it's going through. But at the same time, I've been able to see entities standing next to me watching the abuse going on. Just recently, I took it to another level where I was shown they were coming in. I went along with this as they were coming in, and they were able to show me a entity much like myself from a possibly a past life regression. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm still working on it, of a younger girl in a campment, who a mining camp, who has sexually been abused, who left her physicality, was standing there with an entity, and I'm there with that entity watching these two, watching this child be interfered with. They both were able to turn and look at me, so my presence was acknowledged by both of these entities into these different areas of reality. So when I came back into this full reality, I had a new aspect of what it was the feeders were getting from the involvement from an innocent, from myself as an innocent, energy-wise, essence-wise, through to now being an adult and seeing how the feeding takes place on a multi-level process. So there was no safe spot. The environments we moved to, people knew. There were always people who were either watchers or leaders or guides. They would make sure you had everything you needed without making it look like you had too much or getting it too fast. They would make sure your health was fine. There was always people of importance, influence and power that seemed to be somehow in the fray or connection with family members who were involved with both religion and the occult side. I was involved in the New Zealand version called Centrepoint. We were flown out as soon as that started to bust. We were flown to Australia from one level of abuse to another level of abuse. When I came back here to New Zealand and stood up, once I woke up to what was going on and stood up to the realities, I then got to see different layers. I got to see the layer within the medical industry, the layer within the New Zealand psychology levels of it, ACC counsellors and that sort of thing. I got to see the manipulation and interference right across the board. They don't want the information to come out. They know this information is there, it's daily. They cannot keep a lid on it for much longer.
During this process, do you remember particular times when you tried to escape from the cult? And you mentioned that there were always people that seemed to be around, and I'm sure there were, if one can use such terms, supernatural means to kind of bring you back. Can you talk a bit about that process for those who have gone through it or something similar?
Well, for me, it was about energies. There's always, you've always got your parents that you look to for answers, explanations, trust, encouragement and stuff, and you go along with what they say. There's been a few encounters where, in my eyes, in the early days here in New Zealand, they should have gone straight to the police with the information that they had, but they didn't, and it was due to the fact that they were deeper involved than what just had expired. What had expired wasn't something that had been planned to take place. but it was one of those things where, you know, a predator knew and could smell the energies and just took advantage of it. And my parents, being quite young as they were and stuff, just went along with it, couldn't come out with what they knew because it was early days for them and they'd already gone so deep already, so they knew they wouldn't be able to get away with it. Now, going to Australia and joining in the new groups and environments and circles that both parents, you know, associated in, for me, it was basically identifying with the other children that were being also involved with it. You knew they were different. You knew that there was something not quite right. It's not a negative mental aspect. It's more of a hush-hush aspect. It's more of a watching the body language, watching them interact with each other, including themselves. You know, and you, for me anyway, I was able to pick up on it from a very early age. I'm not sure whether it was the programming or familiar programming or what it was, but when I was involved in Centrepoint, we had to be groomed a certain way. We had to, deportment was very, very key. You had to be proper even though you were a child. You were dressed a certain way. Your hair was done a certain way. There were certain trigger words. There were keywords that were said. Women and the guys will wear certain colors, right down to certain types of tie colors for certain events that were going to take place. I mean, I know that this sounds absolutely ludicrous and stuff. I've been there. I was there. I've lost friends. I'm still searching for people who tried to speak up and save me from some of the events that I went through, which I'm an adult. I'm full on through those stages, and I'll never be able to find them again. I've tried to, you know, I had a handful of fears that I had to face. And they were created fear bases, you know, they were used against me in different night terrors and different areas to stop me from bringing forward the information from different dimensions, different realms, different entities coming in and so forth. And for what I can see now, it's like they were used as fear base. I've been shown my own grave if I didn't perform certain acts. You know, I've gone to police stations. I've got police statements. I've got lots of statements stating that I've named certain persons, certain locations, dates and times. I know the programs that they've used against me. They were really, really intense programs. You know, it's like different keywords will spark different emotions, different essences that leave you. And watching different kids grow up for it, I've known a lot of people who went through my stages, which was their stages, and committed suicide because they didn't have anywhere to talk to. They didn't have anywhere to go. They had no direction. Those out there claiming that they're going to help through counselling, that is utter rubbish. These people like myself will go there for help and aid and guidance, and all they're given is an outlet to open up more and then just be dumped on the sideline in a total basket case of actually realising the magnitude they were involved in. And they get no more help. Of course they're going to turn to some form of blooming abuse, you know, to adjust themselves, to try to get back on track. It is total chaos. These places out there that say they're there to help you, understand you, most of this is all academic. This is not from people who have experienced the deep traumas of Stockholm Syndrome, of home invasion. I've had several different forms of home invasion, from waiting for my father or my parents to drive up the driveway, into the bedroom at all God knows hours, walk into the bathroom. There's no privacy. There is no privacy. You go out somewhere and you do something, that information gets back to your family. There is no safe location. The tortures that I went through you know, I didn't get a lot of this, you know, I didn't get hung, I didn't get all of this shit, but I got locked under the house. I went without food. I had to sit at the table with matchsticks between my mouth, you know, between my lips. You know, there's so many more areas, but I'm just going to get into the light stuff for now because it is heavy. It is heavy stuff. And it's like, these people get away with it because there's connections of people like themselves out there protecting them. There are families covering and condoning the actions of these people. They get to a stage where it is no longer something they've just tried and they've liked and they've become an addict of it. It is not an illness. It is no way near an illness. Watching what I grew up with and going through it, you know, I know that from this aspect of where I stand, I'm just one generation of a child who's been abused, who's gone through this program. My father went through it, but I can see where he came out of it. My mother went through it, but I can see the manipulations of what took place with her. For me, there is no forgiveness. There is no forgetting. I can forgive myself for what it was I didn't understand or comprehend through those stages because I didn't have the tools and the material as access to work with, but now as an adult, I can appreciate the journey I went through. I feel very privileged to still be alive and to be able to take a step back and look back at what I somehow got through. I mean, I haven't been alone through this process. I've been able to see the different entities come in. They've shown me how to detach myself from these events taking place. I've seen angels, I've seen demons, I've seen bloody all sorts. And at the end of the day, you know, I go through different states. Like, not too long ago, I got really angry, you know, people coming in saying, you know, we called this on ourselves. There's no way that a two-year-old child can call in some sort of action like this as karmic payment. I do not believe that. That is disgusting for anybody to come up with that when a child is so innocent and is still looking for guidance. You know, yes, we have a lot of memory and stuff that we can bring through with us, but when events and stuff take place that we no longer have that memory available to us, then it's not something that we've brought upon ourselves. If you can't change it yourself, then it wasn't given to yourself to change. There's so many areas, I would love to just bust wide open. I hear people talking about different aspects and stuff. Okay, they, you know, it's good that they've got their opinion and stuff of it, but have they actually lived it to get that experience and get that knowledge, or are they just talking from people, other people's experience? Because I've only run across two or three people who've gone deep in the realms of abuse, because there's many forms of abuse. It's not just physical, it's mental. There's psychological attacking going on. There's entity attacks going on. There's frequency attacks going on. We are bombarded constantly with different types of frequency and indoctrination. You know, when we turn and look at the people around us, they have also been bombarded and programmed. It's a matter of when you've gone through the program, what are you going to do as a result? Are you going to go to their side and continue, you know, perpetuating the pedophile side of it and the abusive side of it? Or are you actually going to go to the other side and say, hey, no, I break the chain? I have to say that I stood up and I'm breaking the chain. I am happy to talk as deep as it needs to go for anybody to see the levels of darkness that sexual abuse and sexual violence, the short-term and long-term, the side effects, the terminologies that they put on stuff, I will break every one of them down because I can see it very clearly. I have lived it for myself. I've gone through different counselors. And oh my God, what a waste of bloody time that was. And I started doing my own psychology. I just basically have to write a doctorate now to get my PhD. But after seeing the level of corruption that's out there, I don't find any worth. My worth is in knowing what I have gone through, standing fast in the truth that I've discovered about myself, the free will that I understand and the depths and levels that it goes to, and our true abilities that we actually have, and why so many tactics, so many areas that they have gone to try to stop us, keep us in stuck states so that we don't enhance ourselves, so that we just stay as a dumbed down zombie. It's not going to happen. We're not going to stay stuck. They must have realized at some stage there's no way that they can control the amount of people who they've put through this programming to stay, you know, to stay set and do as they're told. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But in saying all that, knowing where I've come from and what's going on, I question the questions. If I am having a good week and everything's coming into me, I'm looking at, okay, why? Why is this coming in? Where is the direction it's coming from? What is somebody else getting from it? There always is another agenda. So as I've gone, you know, I've gone from being a meat eater trying to, you know, I've done everything hands-on. Everything has to be self-experiments, hands-on. Know what you can take, what you can't take, how your body, you know, resonates to different food groups, the information you're bringing in from different foods, and, you know, how you assimilate every bit of information and how you relay it back out. For me, it's now a matter of basically just going with what comes in, looking at the entities and the attachments that are around, seeing that they are starting to struggle in their feeding. They're not getting the same essence and information from us. We are moving at a faster vibrational rate. We're picking up so much more information. There's no two of us alike. Yeah, there are areas where people are cloned, where people have AI, you know, interference going on. Once you understand the different types that are coming in, the different energies, the food sources that you supply to these different beings, you can cut them off. You can see the results of what it is to cut them off. You can see how angry they get when they start to get hungry. It is just one level.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. A couple of things come to mind. The first thing I want to ask is, and I want to get to the entity part in a moment, but as far as the pitfalls that you had to overcome, like a lot of the programming seems to be, I wouldn't call it self-sabotage, but the programming in some cases seems to me to be done in a way to keep the person kind of locked into the cult. Yeah. and to keep them from healing. And then when they try to break free mentally, spiritually, what have you, and then all these triggers kick in, and then, you know, they start to get into a very dysregulated state. Now, from your standpoint, what were the things that happened with you that kind of, you know, a step forward and in some cases a couple of steps back because of these installed programs and triggers and whatnot? Well, what were some of the things you identified and how were you able to overcome them?
Well, it wasn't until a few years back when I had a really big breakdown. And I found myself in my safe place, and I realized that I was living my life over and over again for other people, to keep other people outside of me happy. And no matter what it took, I was that woman who would make sure I brought money in, I fed the family, I kept everybody happy, I kept the outside people happy, and I kept the families outside those people happy. So I had a lot of energies coming in, a lot of negativity. One day, when I stepped out of the darkness, I put a sign on my front door saying, Dr. Armour doesn't work here. Dr. Armour being drama. Doesn't work here.
Nice.
And no shoes. Shoes were the representation of being an access of any interdimensional being to gain access into my home, i.e. vampiric invitation. No, it wasn't happening. Dr. Rama was, no, I don't want to know about your bullshit. I've got enough on my own plate to figure it out and work it out. I don't need your stuff. Take your stuff elsewhere. Leave your shoes at the door. It got to the stage where it was good. It was really good. There was a lot of magic in those words. For a long time, about 3 months, we had no visitors. Fantastic. But then I started getting total strangers coming off the street, coming up to the door, knocking on the door and asking me if I was such and such, and I'd say yes, and they'd ask me really weird questions, and then I'd vanish. I'd have people come up and say they're going to sell something to me. It was pouring down with rain. I had the fire going. They would come in. I would invite them in. I was very cautious, though, still inviting them in. But it was my chicken. We had a chicken experience, a chicken telepathy experience. And it was through that that actually scared the person that was in the house that I'd invited back out the door, with the little telepathy connection between myself, my friend, and my chicken at any one time. Excuse me, hard to explain what went on, but it was pretty bloody awesome. Anyway, that person packed up and left. After that, it was basically getting to see all the little experiences that were outside of my control that took place, that have taken away from me. I lost a child in my early days, my first son, to cot death, sudden infant syndrome. There was absolutely nothing wrong with him the night I put him to bed. There was no reason for him to just switch off like he did. And for many years afterwards, I blamed myself. I looked for answers and explanations. I couldn't, you know, that the physical side of it was any other children that came along. I would have to have certain devices placed on them. But these devices didn't work because any kind of movement, breathing, batteries low, whatever, I was straight into the room. It changed my sleeping patterns. I stopped sleeping. I was already in a habit of not sleeping because of hearing footsteps coming down the hallway at any time of night, any time of day. So this just intensified that area. Having people come into my life telling me how I should perform and behave as a woman. Now, looking at where I came from, everything had to be, I had to perform in more of a debutante mannerism, diplomacy, decorum. I had to act proper. I had to get myself a job that was proper. You know, you could see that within this certain segment, this pedophile cultism, there is a certain of elegance, deportment, the way you carry yourself, the way the females interact with females, the way the females interact with the males, and so on, when they shouldn't appear, and all of this. And this was going, you know, this goes back a long time. This is not just in the last 20, 30 years. This goes right back. Different mannerisms. For me, it was watching the loss, watching the energies being taken and taken and taken and taken, and it was like, there's nobody there for me. There's absolutely nobody there for me. No matter where I turn for any form of guidance, it's always going down this path. If I was to speak out just once, everybody else in that occult group knew what I'd said when I'd said it, and I'd take on one form of punishment or another. If it wasn't physically from 3D entities as we are, it was from the next form of entities above who are controlling their hosts. You know, it was like, you know, if the host looked bad, the entity looked bad. The entity looked bad, the hierarchy of that entity looked bad, and so on and so on. So we all had roles to play. I got to see my roles at a very early stage, right after basically I woke up when I lost my son to cot death. I realized there was a lot more going on around. I had a lot of spiritual happenings happen after he died, and it didn't stop. I've had a lot of these encounters beforehand, but it wasn't until he passed on that I had accepted and real, you know, I had accepted that this stuff was real. I do have these abilities. There's nothing I can do to stop these abilities from showing themselves. They are part of who I am, and now I have to acknowledge it. Now, other distractions have come along throughout my life to keep me held back in different stuck states, Stockholm syndrome. You know, you feel for somebody, you do whatever you can for them, but you don't realize how much they are actually holding you back, blocking you from moving forward. They themselves are being used as hosts. They're not even aware that they're doing it. You know, they resonate with you. That's why you get in touch with them. That's why you connect with them. And then the entities start feeding off you and them. You know, just the little games that they start playing. Some of these people are totally blind. They do not understand. They do not even see what they're doing and how they're manipulating your everyday thoughts, your movements. You know, a lot of us, from through the programming, one thing I really found was I looked for encouragement. I looked for my parents or my aunts and uncles to be proud of what I did and what I achieved. And to this day, it's like, it's no longer important because I can now see what I have lived through at the hands of these people and how these people weren't ever actually there for my best interests. I've gotten to the conclusion I was never actually meant to be born into those family lines. For some reason, I was. I've seen what I've seen. I disagree with what I've seen. I don't like the patterns. I've seen the covering and condoning from of their siblings and their family members, and I think it's a huge cowardice circle. You know, it's like we're taught behaviors. When we come into this reality, we are taught to lie, cheat, steal, abuse, kill, hurt. We're taught, you know, we've been given a certain base for senses, like sight, sound, taste, feeling, and all those states. Those states are not limited to just a set. They go further. They go deeper. They go interdimensionally. And I have to say that with every traumatic state that I experienced, I could also correspond that to an awakening event on my dimensional self journey or journeys. One of the biggest one was night terrors. The entities that came to me through the night terrors also came to me through the moments when I was going through these terror states as a child trying to find a way to survive what I was going through. I can also see how going into these night terrors, those states were used as fear tactics for me to forget the information I gained while I was in that dimension. And when I came back to stepping through the door, they would use this fear state to block it out of my mind. But I was able to recognize the commonalities between the individuals and different entities in these different dimensions and be able to face them and say no. I've had help on different sides of these dimensions who have also come through on this side. I've seen them in splinter selves. I've seen them in just little messages that have been sent to me. I even had a phone call to myself one day. That was pretty trippy in itself, and I still haven't been able to get my head around that. But I look at it as, okay, if I was able to contact myself back in that time frame, there was obviously a big change that I needed to put in place. And now where I'm standing now, I can see what took place from that phone call in between till now. And I definitely know the one thing that I would have changed. So I can see that different messages do get sent to people from splinter selves of themselves, whether they jump through timelines or otherwise. You know, we're not just this meat envelope. There is so much more to our vessel and our abilities. They want us to sleep so they can hijack our sleep into different dimensions. I've seen it. I've seen them hijack me. I've seen them get stuck in those dimensions. And they wait for us to come through, you know, and then try to get back. I've seen a lot of people go crazy. Recently, you see sporadic things that people wouldn't normally do. You know, is it them or are they being guided? Are they going, you know, I always look for explanations. I always look for, it's like I've become this interdimensional detective.
For the benefit of the listeners, you know, there is a supernatural element to this. So too many people who look at this from, quote unquote, an academic perspective, they see it from a nuts and bolts standpoint. They acknowledge that there's systemic abuse, but they don't realize or they don't acknowledge the fact that there is a supernatural, transdimensional, non-human element to it, which is the key component behind it all, because it's driving what's going on in the physical realm. Could you give our listeners an example of times, both from a positive and from a control standpoint, how the cults would utilize entities or supernatural powers or demonic entities to kind of reel you back in, to kind of, when they see you off and you're about to go off into a higher spiritual realm, you know, how they would try to ambush you or do something to you to make you forget what you'd learned. Could you talk about some of the things that you'd experience, both in waking consciousness and in this, like, a higher elevated state of consciousness?
Well, for me, I have regular encounters with different types of entities, from orbs, rods, little people, voices, telepathy, off-world beings. I can go out every single night. I can point out different ships, different communications going on. So I've gotten to see from a very early age that there was a lot more going on to this reality than the 3D vessel interacting with other vessels, interacting with their entities. Their entities are also interacting with another level of entities. I was able to see some of this. The darker the head of the cult, the higher the parasitical entity or dimensional entity, if you want to call it that. There's different levels of controls. For instance, for me, I have a download of information comes in. I will write this information down. I will record this information. I will analyze it, break it down, write as much as I can out of it, say I'm going to go and do A, B, and C. But then D, E, and F come along and stop me from going, continuing on. They distract me. I have to go and do this, this, and this instead of getting any time to turn around and do this, this, and this, which I know is going to advance my understanding or understanding of the information that I've just been downloaded. But I also know now that I can see when these entities come in and try to stop me. And every single day, I have to stand up and I have to face them one way or another and say, no, not today. I'm not partaking of your contract. I don't wish to be part of that. You can throw whatever you bloody like at me, but I am not partaking of it anymore. Take it elsewhere. And it's a matter of going, okay, I've sat here and I've listened to the negativity coming in. Oh, whoa, it never stops. It's like a fucking flood. Doesn't stop. Sorry, didn't mean to swear.
Oh, it's quite all right.
Anyway, it does. It's huge waves of stuff, and it does. It drowns you, and it's like, oh, you're never going to get a breath, and it's like, woe me, woe me. And then it starts coming out in physical ailments. You start getting rashes. You start getting hives. You go on binges. You know, everything. It detects you every which way it can, and then you go, nope, I know what you're doing. Get out. And you kick them out, you clean yourself up, you get back on track, you get these downloads coming in, you're going down the right road, and then somebody will pop in from out the sides you don't expect because you're focused. They'll pop in and you'll think, okay, they've popped in, they've come in with the right frequencies, they're giving you the right information. 10 minutes down the track, you get to recognize, well, for me, 10 minutes, you know, you get to recognize the entity and what the entity wants. It's just another form of attachment. And you have to stand fast and you have to be able to recognize it as it comes in. I used to say I give people one chance, two chances, three chances, it's my fault. They can come in and within 10 minutes, If I'm not getting something positive from them, and they can tell me a lot of information in 10 minutes, not just from their physical vessel and the vessel's journey, but their honesty part of it as well, including, you can start reading stuff. When you get to a certain stage, you know when they're not being truthful with you. You know when they're trying to cover something up, or they're trying to twist something to their favor. You can hear it, you can sense it, you can feel it. You know, as soon as people start to acknowledge themselves, their abilities, and that you don't actually need somebody else out there to turn around and encourage you and tell you, yes, you do have this, yes, you are that, blah, blah, blah. You don't need them anymore. Okay, you came into this reality on your own. You will go out of this reality on your own. That's just my concept. That's where I come from. I came in on my own, and I will go out on my own. I came in with a set amount of knowledge. These people around me, whatever families I was involved in, whether I was meant to be in this family or otherwise, the information that I have got does not resonate with me. I do not like where they come from. I did not cause anything in a karmic state in a past life for this stuff to happen to me. There's no way in hell's bells. I do have past life regression. I can see people's last minutes before they died. I've done all this. I've sat there wide awake. I've had entities come into my room. I know that there is so much more to whom we are and what we are, our abilities to communicate with off-worlders and different dimensional beings. For everything that there is positive, there's that other counterpart which is negative. Once we are able to identify both sides of it, then we can take back the control and we can say to the negatives, I'm sorry, but you're not resonating at the frequency that I plan on, you know, partaking of. They are getting hungry. They are getting hungry. When it comes to, like, you know, for instance, your question, I went into counseling for 3 years. Most of the time that I was going to these counseling sessions, it was her talking about her experiences and other patients. She even had got, because you've got to remember, I was also doing psychology at the same time, so it was a bit of a tutor-patient, you know, connection. So I was learning all the academic side of it, where it came from. I was buying books and studying Freud and all the Sigmund Freud and all of these other people. And it was like, these don't sit right with the here and now. They don't sit right with the level of experiences that I have had. I want to talk to somebody who can say, yes, this is what is real from that experience that you went through. I've gone through different specialists. There is nobody out there who can, you know, they give me surveys to tick off how I'm feeling from different experiences. Yes. Now, what kind of counseling is that? That's data collecting. That's not counseling. You know, that's not rehabilitation as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, as your question is, at that stage, had no trust left. I've said to people, and I still stick with this, I cannot tell you who I am 100%. So therefore, do not ask me to trust you 100%. Because if I cannot trust who I am, where I am from, or my mental state 100%, I cannot give you that same courtesy or anybody else that comes along. Now, I went to this counselor for 3 years and went through all of this programming stuff with her. And one day out of the blue, she said one word, and it triggered me. It was like she pulled the trigger. She pulled that trigger, and everything in my head went boom. And I realized, wow, she was a totally different person. She was an operative for the other side.
Yeah,
she had all that time, all those 3 years of me building my trust up and giving it to somebody who I had believed had gone through a similar journey as myself, has just turned around and said the wrong word and blown her entire cover and everybody who is in connection with her. I never went back. She knew instantly that I knew. And just by looking at each other in the eyes and knowing that information, there's only two ways I could do. I could either smack her in the chops or just walk out, and I'm not a violent person. But I had also seen her go through the process from being a healthy woman to getting very, very sick through our counseling because she was unable to be able to relate to the information that I was giving her about the experiences that I went through.
Yeah, so, it sounds almost like they found some left-brained person who fits a psych profile and then gave her this questionnaire, and she would be a data collection focal point without her even realizing it. And then, you know, somewhere along the line, either, you know, subconsciously or from some debriefing somewhere, she picked up a bit of jargon or something. And then when she mentioned that word to you, that totally blew the cover and everything. Now, in the time that we got left in this first half, one of the challenges that people that are coming to grips with this and are on the path to healing and reintegration is the, at times, confounding issue of multiple, what they used to call multiple personalities, dissociation, what have you. And then you look at the deeper aspects of that where, you know, to escape the pain, and not only escape the pain, but sometimes the torture is designed to make the person leave their body. What I've heard from other people that have survived from SRA families is that sometimes there seems to be an alter personality within them that almost acts like an in-place spy that does things to, like, for example, a friend of mine was telling me that he had to leave himself notes because this alter would pop up and would try to thwart him. This alter would pop up and delete everything you know, that he'd written down and everything he'd journaled. It was almost like he was having to contend with an aspect of himself which these entities and the controllers in the cult can psychically, remotely, supernaturally access. Did you have to deal with that issue?
Yes. 100% yes. I totally know it. Yes. I was talking to a friend today and she said I did, which was, I can't remember exactly the expression she named it, but it was to do with multiple personalities.
Yeah, dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah, that's it. and I had to say to her, yes, it's a stage, there's stages of survival, you know, when you're quite young and you're going through stuff and you can't understand it and there's no real direction that you can go to ask. You feel that your family members are meant to be the safe, you know, ports. But when you go there and they shut you down and then you're looking for other areas where you can go because it's all this, you know, you've just had your whole body, your mind, everything violated by other presences. You're not prepared for the amount of information that comes through on any one encounter. It's never with just one being. It's with multiple beings in one moment. And it's like, you do or you die. That's it. You go through different stages of trying to find your identity. For me personally, I was groomed. And in these grooming stages, if I did something that didn't coincide with the program of being groomed in that area, I would be punished. The punishments came out in different forms. So eventually, I was able to break myself into different segments. There was this person who could deal with this person who had to deal with this and this, because I couldn't, as a one, deal with all this information that was coming in at any one time. So I segmented myself into splinter selves that could focus on one area of influx. And then once they were able to, then we'd have like a internal community meeting.
The Chinese parliament, in a way.
and we would be able to decipher through where things went and fit. And I've seen through different stages of programs I've gone through and different jobs I've had, I've looked at other people who've gone through the same programming and how some of them have been so defragmentated that they can't pull themselves back together. They just can't do it. One of themselves somewhere along the line has been discontinued, and without that portion, they can't bring themselves back into that wholeness that they once were. You know, and this was all a form of protection. I have to only say from myself, from the journey that I've been through, that I did do this. I splintered myself as a form of a safety mechanism. I worked the best I could with the tools that were offered to me. And I didn't have many tools. I didn't have any outside guides that could help me, because everybody that was surrounded me were involved in one form of physical, mental abuse, structure, programming, whatever. And there was no secret place I could run and hide. They knew where I was all the time. I'm not just talking on a physical 3D level. I'm also talking on the dimensional selves. There was no escape.
Yes, because they have these astral sentinels that monitor your activities. And when you begin to, you know, leave your body and access other realms, it's like they don't like that unless they're the ones doing it to you.
Yeah, they don't like it at all. But now in this reality, I'm able to call on that information from my splinter selves anytime I need to. I know that there's information there that I'm probably never going to be able to access because of the depths that it's gone to. But in saying that, I also know that an infant can remember the abuses that they go through. Maybe not mentally, you know, consciously, but they can subconsciously. And their bodies, the skin is a massive organ, and it has a great memory. And we don't give it enough credit for what it had, what it is. You know, all the senses and abilities that it possesses. We think it's the skin, and it feels, and it does this and that. It does a hell of a lot more. And so when it, you know, when it's gone through these traumatic states, it remembers.
Absolutely.
And it will show you. It doesn't matter how old you are.
It's absolute proof we're multidimensional. When our cellular memory can span time and space. And it's interesting that you came independently to that means of self-therapy, because there are, you're probably aware of this, there are therapists who have done the same thing, where a person could be so fragmented they could have dozens of altered personalities. Every single one of them, very real, a sentient being. And what's been described is that some of these alter identities are absolutely terrified of the person becoming fully reintegrated and healing, because they believe, and it's understandable, they believe they will cease to exist. So what the therapist and what the person going through this process of healing have to do at some times, and we're only talking about one means of healing and reintegration, and it may not be for everybody, right, is that sometimes they will do like what you did. Well, you'll create these groups, and they'll be, what some therapists have done is they create groups, if there are dozens or hundreds of these alter identities, and they'll find a spokesperson for each of these groups, and they will come to these quorums and understandings, because some of these alters are very much in fear of being eradicated, because due to the abuse, due to the systematic trauma-based programming, they came into existence. And they're very much as real as the, you know, the host person, if you will. Well, this has been a power-packed first half of Stone Hobbit. For the benefit of our listeners, could you tell them how they can get a hold of you and what your website address is?
I can be contacted through stonehobbit@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook under Stone Hobbit. I'm through Skype on Stone Hobbit. My webpage is stonehobbit.weebly.com. I have a lot of pictures and different bits and pieces of weirdness of myself up there.
Phenomenal pictures of not only orbs, but of all kinds of like wormy looking things, of spirals that are in tubes. I mean, just flabbergasting, amazing pictures. Anyhow, we've reached the end of the first hour. You've been listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show and our very special guest, Stone Hobbit. If you believe in what we do, if you like what we do, please go to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour.